Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. It is a Saturday morning, April 27th. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to you folks in Covington out there on the the Supernatural Highway.
Supernatural Highway.
The Supernatural Highway, that stretch between Conyers and Covington on I-20.
Yeah.
Because all the vampire shows and
out
stuff
there
like
in
that.
Covington, man, out there. Yep. Newton County.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sports Rail.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Gabriel.
Yeah.
Did a good job at the Masters.
Yeah, man.
Yes, he did. David Archer is going to be joining us coming up here as we continue talking draft. I realize it's been chewed since Thursday and people have given the opinions out, but this is our first shot at it.
Man, people still want to know about this.
Well, we know that because they're calling up here. And again, the number
yes,
here,
they are.
404-726-0929. Noel tells me that we've got people holding, so we are going to do a quick little pivot and welcome Frank from McDonough. Frank, welcome. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Frank. Okay, Noel, we'll get straight. Frank?
Yeah, Chip.
Oh, we thought we lost Chip. I was told we lost Chip. But Chip, are you Chip from Carnesville?
No, Barnesville, Georgia.
Barnesville.
Lamar County.
Oh, yeah, Barnesville.
Barnesville.
Buggy days.
All right there.
Yes, well, sir. Buggy days.
Yes, sir.
All right, Chip, we got things cleared up here. What's on your mind, sir?
Not too much, man, other than if you don't mind, I've been a fan of the Falcons ever since Carl Humphrey. And you know that way back.
Yeah, man.
I always thought when you drafted, you made a draft that's going to be an immediate impact. Not no 2 years down the road that what we can do, but, you know, I must say I do like the kids. I like the kids. I just don't particularly like the pick. So with me putting on my GM hat, I was hoping that we at least went at a defensive tackle, or at least a defensive back. But they didn't do it. I am not a GM. I just put on the GM hat. Not to mention, I guess they was considering the fact that with this tampering thing, I guess they felt the need to go ahead and get this quarterback and not knowing what may come up this tampering thing. But nonetheless, man, I enjoy you guys' show. And y'all keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thank you, Chip. Right. Appreciate it. Yeah, that seems to be the X factor with everybody. You know, this tampering situation that's hanging over them and what that penalty may be. So that being said, it just seems like that thrown into people who have a problem with what's going on sort of levels things off. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I can kind of understand now. But then there's still the hardliners that are going to be, nope, y'all should have did this, and that. We'll find out. I tell you what, let's go to Eric. Eric is in Snellville. Morning, Eric. Eric, good morning.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We got you now. Good morning.
All right, I'm driving right now doing Uber, so my mind is scattered right now, but I'm not holding the phone. But I just want to saying I'm not making this a black or white thing or anything, and I'm not going to be condemning anyone, but I'm going to be a little humorous here because this is what I've wanted for years concerning Michael Penix. I'm so glad. I've always in the back of my mind, even though I know God has nothing to do with football, praise to say, God, when are we going to get a quarterback that's like Aaron Rodgers, with pinpoint accuracy coming out of college. Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, because if whatever you are coming out of college, you can't teach accuracy. You know, I hear a lot of radio talk shows hosts saying, oh, let them sit and learn from the other quarterback. But you can't teach accuracy. And when I saw Michael Penix throw the way he throws, throwing darts, pinpoint accuracy, throwing a long ball, you don't have to teach that. You can't teach that. I got excited, and I really got excited because I said, well, the only quarterbacks that I know that tend to have that type of accuracy, they tend to be Caucasian or they my color, caramel. But I said, when are we going to get a brown accurate quarterback? You know, Michael Vick, he wasn't accurate. Even the quarterback that's a brownie right now that's for the Baltimore Colts, he's not accurate. I mean, he got all the other talent. I said, when are we going to get a brown one? Then, and so, you know, now we got Michael Penix. I'm excited. We got, and I'm like, I'm just being funny, but look at this. We got a colored general manager, a colored coach. And I always said it would be nice if we could find three, you know what I mean? The three musketeers, the three colored musketeers. Oh. And, so I'm excited about that. I would also like to say that, concerning, quarterback controversy, I don't think you're going to have to worry too much about that because these two quarterbacks are based on Christian principles. And there's a scripture that says that we should not seek vainglory, but to esteem others better than ourselves and to always push the other person that's next to us and not to try to worry about or be anxious about moving to certain positions, but to be content in the state you're in until God, you know, exalts you. So they have this.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead,
Sam.
Hey. You know, tip your waiters two drink minimum. No more of that. The terminology. I get what he was saying and what he's excited about and whatnot.
Noel, we have to deputize you into this situation.
Who's next?
Yes, would you tell us who is next, please? This disconnect is here, so we'll let you introduce him.
We have, I think, Drew and Kennesaw.
Drew and Kennesaw.
Oh, we tried that earlier. Okay. Drew.
Morning.
This is not going that well.
No.
Nah. This is not going that well. We thought it was, but it doesn't seem to be going that well. So let's just move on here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We were going to be talking a little bit NBA playoffs right now. And I am looking forward to the continuation of what is going on with Phoenix and that series. It is a coming out party or Ant-Man. It is just, I just like the fact that these super teams don't seem to be playing out the way that they thought they were going to.
Clippers are down as well in their series.
Yeah.
You know, to the Mavs. Mavs up 2-1. On them. So, yep, some of that's happening in these playoffs.
Well, my question is, how do you feel about that? Because, see, that's been the conversation with the Hawks, and we talk about getting the right running mates, and do we need to get a top-line free agent here or two to make these guys a contender coming out of the East? And we see with how these guys – see, because I go back to when – this, for me, when it was started, was when the Lakers picked up Karl Malone and Gary Payton, trying to get another championship with Kobe and Shaq. And it didn't work out because of chemistry or, you know, a couple other reasons, but it just didn't work out. And those were four top talents. And they didn't get the chip. And so, I don't know. How do you feel about that right now, given the state of what we're watching?
I mean, you got to go right now, but you got a lot of folks who are banged up. I mean, and I guess it's the rigors of the season or whatever. You got guys who are, you know, we got Leonard to see if he's going to play for the Clippers. You know, he's banged up now. You got some injuries with the Bucks. You know, Lillard is still out there, you know, playing with them, but Pacers beat them last night. You know, that's the whole thing is the injury bug has struck some teams that things would probably be going a whole lot different. I don't know what the Pelicans would do with the Thunder. The Thunder just came into this end of the season so strong. But, you know, if Zion's not able to go like he would normally go, you know what that does for New Orleans. So that, and then you got the Heat. Right now they're 1-1 with the Celtics.
Yeah, that was this, that win the other night was that was one of those Spoelstra slash Pat Riley heart games, especially with Jimmy Butler being out.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at that. And if I was a Boston fan, man, it everything this team does, I mean, they show you at times that they should just buzz like a hot knife through butter through this league, through the conference, and into the finals, and yet it hasn't happened yet. But you still feel like they're the best team coming out of the East, correct?
Seems like they're head and shoulders over everybody else, but we'll see. This is the second season, and everybody they're going to face right now has seen a lot of them. Maybe they found something. If you can, you know, I still feel like they count too much on the perimeter game. It's worked for them thus far. This is the second season, and you wonder if that's going to continue. They can't go out and have off nights. And, of course, we saw them here in Atlanta with a shorthanded Hawks team have trouble holding on the leads and losing twice. So it can be done.
Do we bring up the Lakers? That they might get swept?
Yep.
That they might get swept.
Tonight on ABC.
Yeah. Now, the other thing about that is D'Angelo Russell. Did you see him in that last game?
Oh, yeah.
Staying out of the huddle? What you do with this dude, man?
Way away from the huddle.
Yeah. What do you do with him?
I don't know.
What kind of teammate like that?
Yikes.
And you need him. He didn't put any points up less, but you know you need him if you're going to win. Yeah. But talk about mixed emotions.
He's seen what they're dealing with. And he's seen them. Like I said, the Nuggets have shown up and said, you know, don't forget who we are. We're still the team you got to beat.
Nuggets still, they're not that good where they make people sit on the end of the bench. I mean, this is not the 72-win Bulls or the Golden State 70. I realize that they have not beaten these guys. What's the streak up to 8 or 9 in a row? Something like that, that the Nuggets have beat the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But the two stars are playing. Anthony Davis has played more than he's played in a number of years and what he's contributing. But that third cog, and D'Angelo Russell came out early, you know, they lost a bunch of big leads. So he has produced. But this last game, there had to have been a conversation in that locker room after that one where he's sitting, I mean, just was not a part of the team. And there were a lot of folks talking about, I'd just leave him in the locker room. There was actually a conversation about they had wished that there was another coach on that team. And had he pulled that with a Pop-led team or, more importantly, like a Jerry Sloan, they said they'd have just sent him back to the locker room.
Yeah.
It's just get up and just go.
Yeah. Or Phil Jackson.
It wouldn't have been as demonstrative. You'd have liked to see the attitude.
Yeah.
You'd have got the attitude. You'd have got the attitude from Pop or from Sloan. But anyway, I this is going to be an interesting – I think youth is being served. How about that when you look at these playoffs?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's the best way to put it.
You're kind of seeing what's next. You hate that you're missing Memphis from the mix in this because you know where they kind of should be right now. But they're not there. And, you know the teams that are there are going to get the spotlight. And the players who are showing up now, you know, are going to reap the benefit from it.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, we're going to talk to David Archer up next, one of the voices of the Atlanta Falcons, but also ex-player and a guy who knows this position.
And not just that, he was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium Thursday night with everybody else, including Kirk Cousins, when this draft choice was
made. But how much really inside information he going
to get? I'm waiting to hear his thoughts now a couple of days later from how it felt and what he saw and what he heard. The fact that he was there. And so that's what I'm looking forward. And obviously also, he's been in some situations where this has happened. Yeah. You know, different ways, but, you know, you're on a team, the team gets a new quarterback, the guy walks into the locker room, and you know what time it is. You know, so that's not the case this time, but, you know.
Well, we're going to look forward to talking to him up next. It's David Archer joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, 27th day of April. And Sam, I thought this was kind of appropriate for a couple different reasons. You walk into the quarterback room at first day when Falcons get to training camp, and you look at the people in there, and you go, there's an odd couple right there. And also, it would have been Jack Klugman's birthday. And I know that Arch was a fan of that show growing up. At least I'm sticking my neck out and assuming he was. But The Odd Couple from back in the day threw that out there, but it's got you thinking about these quarterbacks the Falcons now have in the room. As we welcome David Archer in this morning. Man, has it been a while since we've talked to you. How have you been, Arch?
My guys, good to be with Greg and Sam. Yeah, Jack Klugman and Tony Randall.
Yeah, man.
That? Yeah, no. There you go.
I knew he watched the show. But again, just off the top, sort of tongue-in-cheek, it might conjure up what we got in the quarterback room after what happened Thursday night.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of surprise, and I was surprised as well. So I'm not going to say that I knew I was completely glued in on what we were going to do there. I thought that what the Falcons had done in free agency kind of freed them up to be able to do kind of whatever they wanted to. I know that a lot of people, the prognosticators and those, the armchair GMs said, there's a lot of them out there, by the way, thought that Atlanta would go defense there in the first round. But Michael Penix, it was the pick that came off the board. This is a guy, and I know you guys have probably talked at length about it, and there's been some evaluation now post-draft, post-selection of Penix as to how he fits. When you look at quarterback play, and you guys have watched the game a good bit and stuff, and I know Sammy was with us on the sideline and stuff and during Falcon Radio through the years, quarterback play is generally made on time. You generally play the game on time. And when we get caught up in the impromptu part of the game or the off-schedule parts of the game, what we saw with Michael Vick here in Atlanta, and we see with Mahomes where he kind of flies by the seat of his pants. But for the most part, and I'd say 75% of the time, maybe more than that, the game is played on time. And by that I mean you three-step drop ball comes out, five-step drop ball comes out. Go back and look at Matt Ryan. We've been celebrating Matt Ryan over the last week or so, and Matt's, you know, his departure from the game and retirement here and celebrating him. Go back and look at his first pass. His first pass is a five-step seam post to Michael Jenkins for a 62-yard touchdown. Yeah. That's the way the game is played majority of the time. No one in the draft plays the game on schedule and on time the way Michael Penix does. The ball comes out. He understands. And the key word that Raheem has used with Kirk Cousins, and you can use it with this guy because of his experience in college and how much they threw over the last couple of years at Washington, is his ability to process what's going on pre-snap and then once post-snap. Once his first two steps happen, you're confirming what you thought you saw pre-snap, and now you got to get the ball out. And that's what he does. He gets the ball out. He puts guys up to bat. How many times have you seen Adunze get put up to bat on 50-50 balls? Oh, by the way, he just happens to have a 50-50 monster in Drake London lined up outside that he's going to be able to throw the football to. So there's so much that fits with Michael Penix here that I think everybody overlooked about his ability to play on time and the way they want to play here.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline. Always great to have this guy in the house with us, Dave Archer. And he is social. You can always find him at ArcherQB16 at ArcherQB16. The thought process that went into this, and Arch, I'm thinking about the fact that this was a draft class that was heavy at quarterbacks. There's still some quality quarterbacks that are out there to be taken in the draft today. But that, and also something that our listeners have pointed out this morning, the fact that the Falcons don't know what type of penalty there may be for the tampering. You feel like they may be making this move at this time?
I think all the variables, Sam, probably come into play. Yeah, we're unsure as to what that's going to look like, and I think they're picking at hairs a little bit with this tampering deal. But anyway, I don't want to dive into that. But yeah, they're all the variables that are attached to what's the draft look like at quarterback next year? What's the draft potentially look like in 2 years? If you feel like Kirk is going to be your guy for a couple seasons, I think that all that factored in. And plus, Terry said it, they plan on winning games. They're planning on not drafting in the top 10, not in the top 20. They plan to be in that later 20s, maybe even into the 30s over the next couple of years. And so the access to one of those guys would be really expensive to try to move up and get him, one. And two, you're just not going to have maybe the draft. You might not have the draft capital to use to spend. So all of a sudden you get the best passer available in the draft. And now I get it. There's a chance he may not help you for the next season or two, but he's also going to have a chance to work behind a guy. And anybody who watched that Netflix, and I came away stunned. I knew Kirk Cousins some and knew what he was about, but you watch that Netflix program about quarterback, the quarterback thing. He came across as unbelievably prepared player, and now Penix, who's already kind of that guy anyway, now he's going to get a guy to be able to be around and prepare to get ready to play. I just think it's a win-win when you begin to digest it over the 48 hours we had a chance to look at it.
Hey, David, how do you feel about your position and how the players that are coming out of college now are so much readier for the NFL than in years past? How, like a C.J. Stroud coming out, say about the college quarterback and the college, well, players, period, coming into the league.
Well, Greg, I think it even takes it deeper than that. I think you need to start back there at the high school level. I mean, Sam sees a bunch of those guys. He follows those guys around, and they do. You guys do shows about some of the high school stuff that goes on here in Georgia, which is one of the preeminent states in the country as far as putting out high school talent. I think it says a lot about those guys, the high school football coaches, and what they're doing to try to learn what's going on at the highest level in the NFL, what's going on at the college level. And they're implementing that stuff in high school. I get school games that I get a chance to go see, and I'm stunned at some of the intricacies that they're running, spread offenses and all that they're doing, route combinations and quarterbacks reading it out and making good decisions. So, yeah, it says a lot about the college coaches and their continued development of the player. But I probably would put the hat on the guys that are at the high school level.
Talking with Dave Archer of Falcons Broadcasting, he and, of course, Wes Durham, always on the call, and they were there Wednesday night. Big crowd came out for the Falcons draft party at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Since that time, they did go for defense in the second and third round. You feel like they got some guys that are going to be able to help instantly and have that kind of impact that you want from somebody you get early in the draft?
Yeah, no question about it. Ruka Rororo is going to be a guy that is going to step in and be immediately a rotational guy in that interior. I think he's a disruptor. I know there's not a lot of stats to hang your hat on when you start talking about, you know, a guy that's an interior defensive lineman. A lot of those guys, their stats are stunted a little bit, and we see a little bit more of the numbers attached to edge players. And Braylon Trice is one of those guys that racked up some of those, you know, when you start talking about playing in the other team's backfield. The thing I like about Trice is he's a relentless dude. I mean, this guy's got a motor that just continues to run. If he's double-teamed, somehow he continues to fight off that, and he's going to continue to play. Now, the interesting thing about him, guys, is he was listed at Washington at about 270, and he went to the combine at about 245, 250. So it's interesting there. I don't know whether it was just a typo, somebody screwed something up in the SID office at, you know, Washington or what, but he did draw. He worked his rear end off, obviously, literally, to get to the combine, to actually perform well at the combine. But I think he's a guy that immediately comes in and is immediately playing. He may be an immediate starter. I think this is a guy that was, at worst, probably, and again, I don't want to get into the prognostications, but so many people are wrong about that stuff and where guys are supposed to go. But this is a guy that was highly regarded. There were some. I did a thing for AtlantaFalcons.com that I featured some of the guys that I thought were the top five defensive ends. Trice was one of them. He was one of the guys I had in my top five. So this guy you get in the third round, what a steal there. But Aurora is a guy that I think is going to fit in perfectly. He's got an unbelievably good leader in Grady Jarrett, who came from the same college. He's fired up to be here. And so I think he's going to be a difference maker from a disruptive standpoint and a rotational guy. Because remember, we got beat up at the defensive tackle position last year. Yeah. We got down to where we just had a couple guys left. We had a couple guys playing that were coming off the street. But now you got Onyemata, you got Aurora, you got Grady Jarrett, you got Taquan Graham. There's some nice rotational guys in there that can stay fresh and get after people.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, Sam, we haven't had a chance to talk to David since the rule changes and some of the things that have happened within the NFL. So I want to get your thoughts on everything from the kickoff and how that's changed to the Guardian helmets we found out they're going to be allowed to wear.
Yeah, the kickoff is interesting, right, guys? We're trying to keep some of the semblances of what special teams are, but we're trying to safeguard the players. And based on what they've done, and this is kind of a combination of some of the other leagues that have put things in place, and if you haven't seen it, and some of your listeners, if they haven't seen it, you're going to have to look it up because it's too convoluted to try to explain what's going on. But essentially, the coverage unit and the team that's going to be returning, their front lines are about 5 yards apart to minimize the collisions. And then where you field the ball and how that turns out, it's going to lend itself to returns. And I think that's what they wanted. They wanted the big play return back into kickoff returns. And I think that you're going to see some of that. And Atlanta's going to have to – I don't know if Avery Williams is going to be ready to go. He certainly sat out last year. We're going to have to – you know, you're going to have to find some guys that can return kicks because I think it's going to be a big deal as to where you end up with the football if you do, in fact, return it. So that'll be something. I haven't looked into the helmet thing very closely yet, Greg, so I'm not sure as to how that's going to affect the game and what that's going to do. But you're just looking at protection, I think, is the main thing for all the players.
But, you know, the funny thing is, Sam, I'll let you jump in here real quick. Everything that you just said is about protection. Yet the other side of that is adds to the argument of the other people when the league says, yeah, we're still considering going to 18 games. So that's more hitting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, you're going to play. Now, your front liners aren't going to play as many games if you have three preseason games. But you're still playing. There's still going to be 18 – or there's still going to be 20 games on a schedule, right? And so you're going to play 18 regular season games as opposed to 17 regular season games. There's no question about it. The thing that I think that is more lines of what the players are looking at is how many times you have to play a short week. Greg, as many games as you're going to play, sure. If you're going to add another game to the roster, now a lot of players will say, yeah, that's fine. You're going to add a little bit more money to my contract because I'm playing more regular season games. But the actuality of playing on a Sunday and then playing a Thursday, those are ones that probably are magnified more for the player from a worry standpoint and a safety standpoint for them.
Yeah. Arch, we're going to start back up here at noon. Falcons with five more selections. What's the priority today?
Well, if they can get my guy from Iowa State, TJ Tampa, I can't believe he's still on the board.
Yeah,
I thought he would be one of the first corners off the board on the second day, and he's still sitting there. Now he didn't run probably as fast as he really is. He's got a lot of versatility. He can play off. He can play press. He's got long arms. I guess the top end speed is the one thing that's potentially, you know, pushing him down a little bit. But I think he would be a steal now as you get into the fourth round. So yeah, I'm looking at whatever corners are still left on the board. I still don't think you shy away from some of the guys. There's still a couple of guys that can rush the passer. They're still on the board. It never hurts to get offensive line help. And then of course the receiver core is really deep. There's still some really good. Look at a guy like Javon Baker out of Central Florida. Outstanding player. He's a guy that was highly productive down there for Gus Malzahn. He's a guy that's still on the board. So I think all of that is still in the offing, guys, for this afternoon.
Going to go out there and hit him sometime soon? How's your golf game looking these days?
Yeah, the golf game hadn't been good, Greg. I have not played. Had a little bit of a back issue, so I've stayed away from that. Of course, as soon as I say I had a back issue, I just put 50 bags of mulch down in my backyard. So I guess I got to figure out what my priorities are, Greg. I mean, come on.
I really with that, man. David, don't be a stranger, man. We got to talk to you more often, and thank you for getting up and joining us today.
Thanks
and
so much,
adding, Arch. Some perspective of what we all saw on Thursday night.
It's always great to be with you guys and appreciate what you guys do. You do a really good job of keeping the fan informed here in Atlanta. Appreciate you.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Always great to have Arch.
Yeah, we're going to wrap things up, turn things over to John Fricke, top of the hour. But we got to talk about these. Well, we kind of slept on the playoffs here, but the Braves, we got a couple top teams playing here, and they're like an afterthought. They shouldn't be. So let's wrap the show talking about these Braves and where they're going up against the Guardians. They got the best two records in baseball, and hopefully they can get a win today, too. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on the Saturday morning, 27th of April. There was a picture of his sister right outside my room.
Which one?
His younger sister.
Okay.
Who worked with Mr. Perry a number of times, I guess.
Yes, she
so
did.
She was being measured up there.
Okay.
And so, look at him. So, and of course, there was the picture of Madea. You know that was there.
Hello.
Yeah, it was there. Just a picture. Don't yeah. Sound. All right. Again, Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. John Fricke is going to join us, top of the hour. Have we sort of gone all around and examined everything that's possibly could be examined with this pick of the Falcons? And what's going on? And do you think the dust has settled enough to where people are going to go, okay, let's just see what happens? Is that a possibility?
For some. But for some people, it's still going to, you know. And that's the thing about, you know, a draft decision like this. You have a lot of people who are anticipating something, who really feel like this is what the team should have done. And it's when something happens that is so in the other direction, you know, some will move on, and some will just dig their heels in and say, "Ah, you didn't draft what I wanted," you know. So,
well, you get that all the time, but this is different. Okay, example: you got an owner like Jerry Jones who comes out, and we know what the Cowboys have been or haven't been, right? And every year the conversation continues to go around. Yeah, this guy's the owner, he needs to fire the general manager. This year he says he's all in, okay, or going into the draft, tells Cowboy fans, "We're all in," says it a handful of times, and they don't do anything, okay? It was speculated, and I think the overall need of the Falcon fan base was an edge rusher. We can agree on that, correct?
Right.
But it wasn't something that Arthur Blank came out and said, you know, because of these past years, this is, you know, what we absolutely have to do, and you're going to notice that I'm all in with both. That wasn't, we weren't at that cliffside confrontation. So for people to get all worked up into a lather about what they did after understanding the possibilities of some of the down the road situations, I just don't think it's easy to just sort of, all right, well, you know what, they're doing more than us. And it's not like decisions that have in the past that have been made have all worked out 100%.
No, but just like you've heard, you know, Terry Fontenot saying, we don't plan on being in this position to get a, you know, access to a player at this position in the draft again for what if things go
exactly
as you're playing, right? So you did want to make the most of it and get a player that you know that may not be just a player just for right now, but can be someone who sustains your success. And I think that's what this whole thing is aimed at. And once again, you know what we heard this morning and about, we don't know what type of penalty for tampering is going to come along, how that will impact the coming drafts, the next draft or the draft after that for the Falcons. We don't know if it just be a fine or if it would impact the draft selection. That we don't know. And so, you know, and plus we don't expect the class of quarterbacks to be as strong as this one. So that's what they've done. And, you know, everyone is communicated. Everybody has talked. And, you know, next thing is to see how it looks once it gets on the field here in a few days.
You know, I never asked you this before, and I can't remember hearing you voice this one way or the other, but I'm curious, how do you feel about the decisions when they're made? And you've heard people say, well, if the best athlete is available, that's who you pick.
That's what always comes out.
I'm just saying, you know, as opposed to what. So how do you feel? How do you stand on that?
Well, that's I won't say that's like a statement that is always loaded for them to make, but it's always there on our board. On our board, he was the best available. Well, you're not getting a look at their board, so you don't know what they have on their board. You can assume what should be on their board or what may be on their board, but, I mean, that just doesn't just go for Falcons, you know, front office. That goes for all the front offices. You know, you can feel a certain team needs a certain thing, and when they don't get it, they say, hey, you know, this guy was here, and, you know, on our board, he was the best available. We went for best available.
All right.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We started the show talking about this Atlanta Braves team and how they are playing so far. And listen, there's been some adjustments. They've had some all-stars that have been out of the game, on the DL for a little bit. But yet, they still are dominating this division. And they're looking, I mean, you can say Philadelphia just one win behind them, or two and a half games behind them. But still, they just look head and shoulders better than most of the people in this division, to me. And so, given what they have been through already, a little bit of adversity in this first month of the season, I listen, man, I I'm feeling really good, and I'm not gonna fret on every game or every series. Other than did you win the series? Okay, then move on. I really don't, because now again, end of May, late, you know, Memorial Day weekend. After that, then I start paying attention a little bit more. But I'm still not walking in the traffic if they get on a losing streak. But if they position themselves post All-Star break to where you're confident everybody's healthy and they got a pretty good view toward the playoffs, then everything should be, you know, working out nicely. That's just the way I have this season figured out.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking. And you got another great start from Chris Sale last night. And, you know, some people had a little bit of a question mark of which Chris Sale we're going to be getting here in Atlanta when the Braves made the move to bring him over. He's 3-1 so far this season, and another long outing for the starters. This week, the Braves starters have been able to go to the 5th, 6th, and 7th innings. That is great for the bullpen. And not being too taxing on those guys. And tonight you get Charlie Morton going for his 3rd win of the season. And he's a guy who's usually good for going into your 5th or 6th inning. That's great for this, for the bullpen, for this team. You know, having them use the way Brian Snitker would set them up to use them. If the starters can give this type of effort on a consistent basis, that is truly what you want to get. And right now, like you said, the offense right now, the power is coming from other parts of the batting order. Mm-hmm. You know, wait until the guys who usually supply all the big power surge that is going to come for this team.
And now that Ozzie's back, you know, the tinkering of the lineup a little bit, you didn't have a problem with Michael Harris taking his spot in the lineup, but there was, again, you get comfortable with what the lineup that you have that has shown success. And you know that once you get through it once, then the leadoff position really isn't the leadoff position. You got Michael Harris batting 9th. So that turnaround through the lineup is something that's really special. But again, the guy's hitting 272 right now, meaning Acuna. You know that's going to change.
Yeah.
And how many stolen bases has he got? So let me look this up real quick here. He's getting some bases.
I think he's got like 11, I think, right now. I believe that's where he's at.
Yeah.
Last time I checked.
So, again, I don't know where to actually, you know, show concern with this team other than the fact that you know at some point Ozuna's, you know, his bat is going to go soft for a little while. And, more importantly, you know, Matt Olson's is gonna wake up soon.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got them and Austin Riley. I mean, you got some bats that are gonna come around and start performing, and it's going to be amazing to see. They got a road trip coming up. They're going to head out west. They're going to go to Seattle Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then next weekend they will be in L.A. against the Dodgers. Ohtani came up, I think they're in Toronto last night, getting jeered, booed, and he launched one that I think is still flying. So the Braves get their first look at him with the Dodgers, of course, and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, the whole crew. That's what's coming up next weekend for the Braves.
Can he cuss at fans in Japanese and not get fined?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
If you don't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody in the crowd might, though.
It's like Tony Parker used to do that. He'd cuss at you in French on the court. You didn't know what he was saying. And it were big words, too. I was just thinking about it. He's standing there at the plate, and, you know, he hears 50,000 people calling him all kinds of names, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something's got to come out.
Something, you know, you think? I don't know. See, I think you know, he kind of got even and let the bat do the talking for him last night. Pretty impressive shot.
You know what they did baseball on this day back when?
What was that?
They literally had a Babe Ruth Day.
Really?
Yes. And it was celebrated not by the Yankees, but the entire league.
Okay.
And I believe that this was the last year. Well, yeah, it was the year he retired or the year that they put some. You know that famous picture they have of Babe Ruth standing there at home plate, but he's in his trench coat?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, launched over. I think that was from this particular day, but that happened on this day. There are people who thought about his number should have been retired years ago.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's not?
No, it's. No, I mean, the Yankees.
Yeah.
But I mean, not like Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson. Being one of the game's really original big superstars.
This was also the day that the NFL officially recognized the Hall of Fame in Canton.
Whoa.
Yeah. I would have thought it had been done a long time ago, but it was like 61. 61 is when they started to acknowledge the Hall of Fame. Now, obviously, there were Hall of Famers before that, but they, I don't know, they didn't have the building. You ever heard of R.C. Duncan?
I don't know. Where did I know that name from?
R.C. Duncan? He got a patent.
Okay.
He's the guy who invented Pampers. Happened on this day.
Okay. Somebody had to do it.
Somebody had to do it. Ulysses S. Grant, Rogers Hornsby, and I say this reverently, Coretta Scott King.
Okay.
All would have celebrated a birthday today.
Ah.
Casey Kasem, Chuck Knox, George Gervin, happy 72nd birthday, Sheena Easton. Former Atlanta Falcon, Michael Booker, 48 okay. years old today.
Okay.
Lizzo, 36, and for you, I end with this one, 29 years old today, Nick Kyrgios.
Man.
Yeah, that was for you.
All right.
As we get on out of here and turn things over to John Fricke. Mr. Crenshaw, I will be with you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Noel, thank you for everything that you did today. It's a little awkward and a little weird when I'm not there, Sam's there, and you're trying to keep everything together, so thank you for that. She will have another Noel's World tomorrow. For the rest of you, enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Thank you for letting me and Sam be a part of your weekend mornings. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.